Hey gang, are you looking to make some business cards and not quite sure where to go? Maybe you've tried some online sources before and ended up with something you weren't happy with? Well, let me tell you about the one that I love, Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single-sided or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com and order your cards, and in the offer code, enter BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. And start passing out your cards to everyone. That's Vistaprint.com. Now go get some cards. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. Matt Evans and Kevin Butler from the band Reddening West are here today. Yeah, man, we have a great conversation about how they came together, where they come from. Kevin's an engineer, and Matt works in the education field. And they got together and put out this gorgeous EP called Where We Started. It came out a few months ago. And I met with them like a month ago or something at Austin Music Foundation. I listened to their stuff and I just fell in love, man. It's this gorgeous, ethereal, dreamy music. And this EP is absolutely gorgeous. Go to reddeningwest.com and find out how you can get it, and also when they're going to be playing again, because they don't have anything on the books right now, but hopefully they will soon, and we'll all get to go out and see them, all right? My conversation with Matt and Kevin from the band Reddening West is coming up very soon. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I'm a little bit flustered. I got to go to rehearsal with my lady band that's playing 2 weeks from tonight, right? Lady Band Johnson. It's me and Kathy Valentine, Dominique Davalos, and Christina Comley from the Bluebonnets. We have a band. I'm the front person of that band. We have a great time playing. It is rock and roll. And we are playing 2 weeks from tonight, Friday, November 4th, at the Continental Club, all right? And we're looking forward to that. So we're going to get together and rehearse. But I had a podcast that was going to come out by somebody who I did an interview with, and they talked a lot of shit in that interview. And after we did it, I said to them, hey, man, if there's anything you want me to take out of this, just let me know. And they said, no, man, I don't care. Fuck it. And then late last night, after I put the whole show together and it was about to come out, I got an email saying, man, please don't put that out. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble with a lot of people. So I offered to edit it, and they said, no, we'll do it again sometime, not right now. So anyway, I hustled together, grabbed this Reddening West conversation that I had with these dudes a few weeks ago, and I put it together, and Matt Evans and Kevin Butler are absolutely fantastic. Their music is absolutely gorgeous. I suggest you pick up this Reddening West EP, go to iTunes, or find them on Spotify. I don't know if they're on Bandcamp, but go to reddeningwest.com, find out where you can find it. They're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow them, get involved. They're a new band. They're looking for fans. Listen to this music, listen to them, find out what nice guys they are, how cool they are, and how gorgeous their music is, and you will wanna follow them and get their album, all right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope that you all have a great weekend. I have a busy weekend ahead of me. I'm going to rehearse with the girls now, as I said, tonight. I'm going to see Amy and the Hi-Fis do their video release, along with Nomad City doing their video release. And then I'm going to run over to the Rattle Inn and see AJ Vallejo and Kendall Beard, otherwise known as Love and Chaos, and check out some of their set over at Rattle Inn. I'm not playing tonight, but tomorrow morning, getting up, going to Houston, doing the thing, playing a private with Skyrocket. All right? Hope you guys all have a great weekend. Enjoy my conversation with Matt Evans and Kevin Butler from the gorgeous, gorgeous band Reddening West, and pick up their band pick up their EP Where We Started. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Let's get down.
You and I in bed blue.
Yeah. Use the force. That's what he was trying to say.
I have a few different mottos, and they change a little bit over time, but like for the most part, my motto is like, it's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So in other
just
words,
let it roll. You figure
yeah,
it out.
Yeah. Like if something definitely is wrong, fix it, you know? But
yeah,
like
yeah.
Otherwise, it's fine.
Did you go to school?
I did, actually, yeah. And that gave me a good, like, foundation on what you really shouldn't do, you know?
So that did you break
helped.
Some shit there?
Did I what?
Did you break some shit there or something?
No, just, like, all the, like, the easy traps of, you know, doing things the wrong way.
Right. Where did you do the Arlen thing?
No, I went to Full Sail. In
oh,
Florida.
Yeah. My Kyle. Do you know Kyle Crusham?
No, no.
He's an engineer.
Okay.
Here. He's friends with CB now.
Which CB?
Hudson.
Yeah, like as in Orb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's another CB somewhere. Anyway.
Was that like a homecoming for you? You're from Florida. You were born there.
I was born
You were born there.
I was born there
well.
Too. Where do you know this stuff about me? You knew I was sick?
I did.
You know Florida?
Yeah.
And now?
I know.
You knew I was going to Houston, but I think that's because
we talked.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of my info came from that conversation. Plus a little bit of...
Knowledge? Research? Did you do research?
I mean, maybe.
Okay, that's cool.
Where are you from?
Miami. I was born in Coral Gables.
Are you proud of Florida?
No.
Yeah,
fucking look at me, I'm in Austin. That's like the least Miami place you can get.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I had to go back there for a year for school, and I just wasn't into it.
What part of Florida are you from?
Orlando.
Okay.
Winter Park.
It really is like a crazy place. Like, you guys know who Charlie Hodge is? He was a guy that used to do afternoon radio. Now he does like an AM show, but he also has a podcast. But I used to be like a regular once a week guy on his show. Yeah. And he would always do like stories from Florida. And there was always two stories every day in the news that were just fucking completely
insane. And it's still the case.
Insane.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, like a guy robbed a bank on roller skates in Ocala, Florida.
Probably naked.
Yeah.
Stopped by an alligator.
Yeah. So my friend Kyle went there. That's what I was trying to say long story. But he seemed to enjoy it. Did you go the full time?
Yeah, it was a year.
It's a year?
Yeah, it's changed a little bit since then.
Okay.
Went in like 2002 or something like that, 2003.
I bet it's really changed a lot. I mean, that's like a weird... Like if you went in like 1998, you were learning something completely different than you did in 2002.
This is true.
Yeah.
They were still teaching tape at that point, just barely though. It was like literally like one class and they're like... That's a tape machine. All right, let's move on.
What got you interested then in recording?
Well, I don't know. It's just like through, you know, I was always in bands and I recorded a demo for my band when I was like in middle school even, I think, on like an 8-track. And I was like, it turned out like kind of good. Actually, I take that back because it's probably really terrible. But like still at that time, it was like exciting figuring it out. And then actually I didn't do a ton of recording. Like I even had a 4-track and I still was like, I don't know, like I actually saw it a little bit too limiting. And even though a lot of people say like limitations are like a good thing, but like I kind of just didn't really mess with it that much until like I realized that you could record stuff on a computer. And then all of a sudden I was like, cause I was kind of a computer like kid, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, it's on. Like I felt like endless possibilities of stuff I can do. Like then I got really excited about it and got an interface and just went to town. Awesome. And then I was like obsessed with it. I would just record any band, like all the bands that like were in my high school. I was like, I
you were
somehow
the guy.
Made them
come record
with me. Yeah. Like I'll do it for free. Like whatever it takes, you know? And so just like really got into that. And like, obviously didn't care about anything else. And so like when it came time to like go to college and stuff, my mom was like, yeah, you're not cut out for college.
Yeah.
So she kind of like saved my ass. Yeah.
And so you went there. What did you do after when you got out? Did you come back here and
work? Yeah, just came straight back to Austin and just like interned. I interned at a Music Lane on 5th Street.
Yeah.
And had a great time.
Who was there then?
Changed owners over to Jason Dimitri.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Jason Dimitri from Soak.
Yeah.
He owns that?
He kind of does now. It's been dismantled and he owns the gear, which is now at Andy Sharp's place.
Okay.
Do you know Andy
Sharp? Yeah. Wow, what a small world.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you from, Matt?
I'm from Arizona originally. Tucson. Okay. You've been out Tucson?
Yeah. Played Hotel Cafe, right? No.
Oh, Hotel Congress. Hotel Congress. Great spot.
Stayed there. Played there.
Oh, you stayed there.
Yeah. Great breakfast place.
The Cup.
Yeah.
The place is amazing.
So you grew up there?
Yeah.
Is that where you're kind of like, that makes, like, are you Calexico guy?
Yeah, I love classical.
There is a weird sort of ethereal Western expanse to your sound. Does that make sense?
I like that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah. Definitely. I feel like a lot of... So I grew up in Arizona, went to school there, went to college there, moved to Seattle for 4 or 5 years, and then kind of bounced around, ended up in Austin. And I feel like a lot of those places kind of find their way into the sound.
There's a lot of this,
But I think there's a lot of Texas and Arizona on this EP that we did, for sure. Sort of dry and something.
Deserty.
What were you doing in Seattle? Did music take you there?
No, I just kind of was looking for a change, you know? And I just worked and...
It's pretty interesting. It's totally lush and green compared to the desert.
Yeah.
So you did go for a change.
It's like a 180, you know? It was beautiful. My first couple of years there, I was like, I don't know about this place, man. It's so gray and dark. But over time, it worked on me. I love it. I miss it.
You know, I've been there like maybe 6 times. It's always exactly like this, except a little bit cooler.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it works out.
It's weird.
People who are visiting, they're like, oh, man, this place is perfect.
Yeah. I'm like, man, this place is awesome.
Yeah. It's stunning, man. I didn't really do much music up there. I had a band that we just played in my basement and never did anything else. And then I ended
up... What were you doing? Were you working?
Yeah, working.
Working in what?
Education. And then I actually went to grad school up there at the University of Washington for education. I got a master's in education.
Do you teach?
No, I was more in kind of more the theoretical stuff, sort of like education theory and curriculum design and multicultural education, sort of that kind of stuff. And after that, I ended up going out to New Jersey. I worked in higher education for a couple years at Rutgers University.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, running a program for students, and that was really cool. I was there for a couple years, and then it was kind of like itching to get back to the South a little bit. My wife is from here, so it kind of made sense to come to Austin, so we moved down here.
What does she do?
She is she works for the state in Medicaid.
That's cool.
Yeah, so she's...
You guys are like cool people that do cool things.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do anything cool for anyone else, but...
Yeah, right.
I've got no curriculum to design or Medicaid people to help.
Yeah.
But I'm here, man. If they need me, you can just tweet at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter. So you came to Austin?
Yeah.
And then what, like, were you writing songs that whole time? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
yeah. I've been writing songs for a long time, and, you know, it's always been just sort of, you know, kind of a bedroom project. It just never, I'm left to my own devices. I'm a little like hermitish or something.
So dude, how did you get out of the room, dude?
Yeah.
How did they get you out?
Somehow. I met Neve first.
Okay.
And so when I moved down here, I was kind of like, it's a funny story, actually. I was kind of, you know, you scope out the scene, new place. You're like, all right, who's doing what? Who's who, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, Kevin's other band, Black Books, is one of the first bands I stumbled across when I was like, you know, kind of gauging who was doing what. And I love their stuff. And I was like, yeah. Huh. And
maybe you had looked us up afterwards, but that's kind of cool to hear.
No, it was like sitting in my office, like looking up shit and just being like, oh man, these guys are cool. So like a year later, I met Neve, and we were just sort of talking about collaborating and like a guitar violin kind of thing. And we were like, all right, let's do that. So we started playing together. And then she was like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend plays music. And I was like, okay. I was like, here we go.
Yeah. That happens to me, too, all the time.
And
it's just like that. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
You want to jam sometime, bro? Yeah. So.
I got a 4-track.
Yeah. So, and she was like, yeah, you know, I got a boyfriend who plays music. I was like, oh, cool, you know, what's he doing? What's his story, you know? And she's like, oh, he plays in this band called Black Books and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, really? Black Books? I was like, I know them, you know?
Where were you guys playing? He was seeing you.
I don't know if you saw us.
I never saw him, man. I was like,
you just saw him online.
Cyberstalking.
Okay.
All the bands, you know, trying to, from a safe distance.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And I heard their music that they put out. They put out full length and one EP at this point.
We have a couple EPs.
Yeah. So we ended up, Neve and I were playing together, and we ended up somehow, like, this unofficial South By thing came up. And I think at that point, Kevin had heard a little of what we were doing, and you offered to play drums for us for that show.
Well, I heard that you guys were maybe looking for a drummer, and I was like, I would hate to see them get some drummer
that wasn't cool.
Wasn't any good.
Yeah.
So I was just swooped in.
Swooped in.
Yeah.
Nipped it in the bud.
Yeah. So, yeah, so Kevin jumped in.
I
and
liked it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a secondary consideration.
What, that you liked it?
He didn't want to see his girlfriend embarrassed. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it rolled. But I mean, prior to this project, I had put out an EP with a friend of mine in another sort of collaboration called Sleepy Holler. And we put that out a few years ago. But he lives in D.C., so it's always been this very, like, this long distance thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of, again, another, like, housebound project that we just put on the internet, and you know. Yeah. So I've been writing for a long time, and then with these guys we had some songs, I had some songs sitting on the shelf, and we kind of all came together and started like brushing them off and piecing them together, and that's what we put out earlier this year.
Well, congratulations, it's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Like, yeah,
thanks.
I was listening to it earlier today before I was rocking out to Jellyfish, and are you a Jellyfish guy?
Okay. No, I guess not.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So the EP is called Where We Started. Absolutely fantastic. Produced by all you guys. Did you record it at the Orb?
No, we tracked it at my buddy's studio, The Fathom Tree.
Okay.
Which is built from the ground up. Really nice studio down like way south Austin, and lots of windows, natural light, big ceiling. Just a really fabulous place to record. And we actually did it pretty much all live, like mm-hmm. even the vocals and everything.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of anything that wasn't live. Actually, there
it
was
sounds
like
it should. Yeah,
cool.
That sounds right.
Just a couple layers here and there. We overdubbed the violin. Just to get it, we kind of
right.
Just to get a really nice sound. We had Neve originally in an ISO booth, so just to get a really nice big sound on that, and then a couple little guitar layers and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like I'd say it's like 95% live, and. Especially like the tempos fluctuate quite a bit, so we're all just kind of playing off each other, and that so no click or anything. So yeah. It's definitely a very live thing, and
yeah.
So it's fun to sift through all the takes because they're all so different. You know, it's like if you're tracking to a click, it's like almost like if you
right.
listen to the other takes, they can almost be very similar.
If right. we track to a click, it would have taken like 3 months because I can't. I hate that.
Really,
I just struggle. It's like it starts and I lose all sense of time.
Can I tell you something weird?
Yeah.
There, do you know who Mark Duplass is?
I know the name, yeah.
There's something extremely Mark Duplass about you, even the way you're dressed and the whole thing, except you're wearing socks. He would not be wearing socks with those shoes right now.
My feet are very hot. Yeah. I was just thinking. I was thinking about taking them off.
You need to wear socks, especially with those kind of shoes.
Yeah, my holy.
Slimy
my holy.
The bottom.
Yeah.
Not good.
Very holy slimy. All right, so you guys got together and you played out for a while, and then you made the record. And then I see you've been playing. You played Pecan Street Festival and stuff. Let me ask you a question, because when I was listening to your stuff, I was like, this is hard to pull off in, like, what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's some delicacies that just don't translate. I mean, I've had a hard time in my career because I've not graduated to theaters. So, I've almost had to keep
swallowed up, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I write songs that work like that, and I record songs like that, and I play them once or twice until I get so discouraged because the level of the audience volume gets so loud when you're doing something quiet like that. It can be like, okay, well, fuck, then I'm just gonna play, you know, rock and roll all night without.
I mean, that's
slowing down. But you guys don't have the opposite. Like, you guys don't have a rock place, so you're doing this, and so when you play. Are you like at the Strange Brew or like the Cactus Cafe?
You know,
or like,
I mean, you raise a really good point. I mean, I've thought a lot about this because part of it's like the town we're in is Austin is we're all it's a very saturated place, like music wise, and I feel like we're all kind of screaming for attention a little bit. So you do, you sort of, the impulse is to try and be catchy somehow, or like you want to write a hook or like a big rock song just to get people's attention. But yeah, I mean, our music, I typically am drawn to like writing quieter stuff, and it's been interesting. We've had a couple shows at Stubbs, which is a great room.
I saw someone the other day,
yeah,
playing there, acoustic,
yeah,
and I left because I couldn't. Yeah. It was driving, yeah, me crazy because the crowd was so loud.
Yeah, yeah, and we've definitely battled it, and I don't think we've really figured it out. We haven't really played any listening rooms, you know, Strange Brew or Cactus. We haven't done that yet.
You should.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, I think those would be great places for us to go, or Central Presbyterian or something like that. But oh, yeah, you know,
isn't that where like Calliope Musicals did their release or something?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw Bomberay there once, and that was cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, so I feel like there is a way to do it in Austin. I think it's just figuring out, like, I think of like Adam Torres. You had Thor on here,
yeah,
just recently, and like, there are folks that are doing it, and I think it's, the challenge is just, so we're working on new stuff. The challenge is just finding ways to keep it interesting so that, you know, you can kind of grab people. We've definitely made a little bit of a shift to kind of do some more electric stuff and some more,
but
yeah, it's, the core is always going to be a little bit soft and sad, and yeah, like people don't want to,
and ethereal. Like there's ethereal, some stuff, yeah, happening that's floating off that you would lose in a room that has loudness coming out of it.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely a unique challenge for sure.
It reminds me of that story of what's the dude that, he's the guy that turned Nashville into Def Leppard, but he produced Def Leppard, and then he was married to that lady.
I'm just going to guess Mutt Lange. But,
Mutt Lange. And he, when, like, I can't remember what record they were making, but they knew they were going to be playing these big places. And they were like, the drummer was doing Grace Notes, and he was like, dude, you're going to be playing fucking, like, soccer stadiums. No, like, you can't do that anymore. Like, there's just, like, no one's going to hear you. Just go, gong, 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 bam, you know, play to the room.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of weird, though. But it makes sense.
There are a lot of bands, like, we just saw Local Natives at ACL, and, like, they're pretty, like, their records sound pretty chilled out, you know? But then they play the same songs live, and they're bashing away. Mm-hmm. That's great. It's just a different version. It's like you have your live version and the recording version. So I think that'll happen as well when we go to play live. I think we'll end up kind of playing a little bit louder and give some more energy, and also depending on the room for sure.
Yeah.
We played Pecan Street Festival.
Yeah,
which was cool because it's like we could actually play quite a bit quieter because it was like amplified so well.
Yeah.
Like even with like my floor tom, for example, like I'm just playing super soft, but I can hear it like rumbling through and cutting through, and it's like mm-hmm. thunderous, and which, you know, like I don't think always really happens in a smaller little club or whatever. Like even if it's mic'd up, it's not, yeah, you know,
unless you have your own sound guy.
Mm. True.
Or yeah, lady.
Yeah,
that's always the funniest thing about it is we work so hard and we sit there and rehearse with our band, and then we go and make a record, and then we rehearse for our record release show, and then we go to this record release show, and the guy that is the interpreter of the sound between us and the audience is a guy that might have heard two songs at soundcheck, has no idea what you're going for or anything. Such a strange thing. I learned early on to get a sound guy.
It's a really important relationship, you know. It's a unique, like, you put a lot of trust in those folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys know, I mean, it's a mixed bag, but we've had some good luck here, like Danny at Stubbs.
Danny's,
like,
Danny's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's one of those guys that just pays attention and really cares, and is,
yeah,
he asks good questions and he listens, and you can say the stupidest shit, like, hey man, like,
right,
can I get a little more verb on my vocals? And he doesn't treat you know what I mean? It's just like he's cool and he's patient. Having a sound guy sounds like a nice kind of idea too.
Well, just if, I mean, I'm in a band with seven people where five people take turns singing lead throughout the course of the night, and people switch from drummers switch, and one guy's like a drummer and the other guy's like a guy that can play drums. So like the hitting isn't as so.
Yeah.
All that shit, like, you know, we play a lot of private stuff, a lot of corporate stuff. So, you know, that stuff can't just. One guy sings soft, one guy sings loud.
But you have a guy you were, or
a person, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. That's for Skyrocket.
Her name's Catherine, yeah.
Okay.
She's great.
Yeah.
Mm. Excellent.
Yeah. She takes it real seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
It makes a big difference. It
makes all the difference, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So what do you guys have planned next? Like, you guys have played some shows, you put the record out, and then there's sort of that. You came in and had the meeting at Austin Music Foundation. Well, yeah. You do get to a point, I think, our culture moves so fast that you can make a record and put it out, and it has the exact same impact as if you were to just put out one song.
Mm.
And you have, like, this, you know, 16-hour window where people are going to see it in their newsfeed, and then, like...
Yeah. Mm. So how do you... Yeah, you...
Oh, yeah, that was out yesterday. Who cares?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you, immediately, you're irrelevant.
Right,
yeah.
So how do you... here's a great phrase for it. How do you keep it up?
Yeah.
Afterwards, like the enthusiasm and like, okay, let's do this next. All right, yeah. Let's do that next.
Or... Yeah. I think it's, you can't stop writing. I mean, I think that's number one is like, remember what you're doing, which is like, we're here, we're together to create music. Let's create music. And so that's, I think, right when we put the record out, we just kind of turned around. We took a little bit of a break because I think we were all a little tired. But, you know, it was just like, let's just start writing again. And shows pop up, we jump on them. And obviously you want to get the word out and introduce people to your band and do that whole thing. But, you know, we're so young, I think it's just like, play some shows, meet people, talk to folks. But let's line up what's next.
Yeah.
Musically, let's write something new and let's get that out.
And people who are listening, they can follow you guys on Facebook, on Twitter, you on Instagram.
Yeah, all over, everywhere.
Are there any shirtless photos of you on Instagram?
Yeah, two. Okay. There's two.
Cool.
I had to blur out my nipples on one of them, okay. But they're...
I just want some strong...
They're smiley faces.
I need some strong sexual content.
Yeah. If you scroll all the way to the bottom. It's the first picture I posted. It was an accident, but...
Buddy, I always scroll all the way to the bottom. I don't know what that means. Okay, but you also, you have a website, reddeningwest.com. What does that mean? Reddening West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good question. It's, I stole it from Cormac McCarthy, like,
okay.
Straight out the gates. He has this series of books, The Border Trilogy. And he has this way of describing the sunset. And it's all like New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, Mexico, like riding on horses and shit. And I love it.
Your whole thing is in that giant expansive world.
I don't know what's going on.
That's cool, man. But, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So Reading West was, he has this way of describing like the sky turning red and it's dusty and it's, you know. So I don't know. I mean, it kind of grabbed my attention and... it kind of has this, like, you know, sunset is so many things. It's like the end of a day, but like also here comes night and darkness, and that can be kind of foreboding, but it's also like a hope of a new day.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, tomorrow will come.
Yeah.
Hopefully. If you don't get in a knife fight, like his characters. But so that, I mean, we sort of kicked around a few ideas when we were coming up with it, but.
Are you a reading guy? Do you know Daniel Ray Pollack? He's like a Cormac guy.
I don't know, but I do.
I've got a book I'm about to start when I finish this other audiobook. I believe Saturday I will start it on my drive to Houston.
Awesome. Yeah. I think reading is one of my biggest inspirations.
It's funny because there's a cinematic quality to his work. There's a cinematic quality to your work, but it's this in the same kind of vein. Like, it's large and, you know.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think.
Are you a pretty active writer? Like, do you write regularly?
Yeah.
Do you keep on yourself?
Yeah, I try to be disciplined about it. I mean, it's easier said than done. But, you know, I really love learning about, like, the other artists' like process.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I always read is like, just show up to work, sit down and write, even if it's garbage or whatever, just show up. So I try to write every day. Doesn't always happen, but you know, sit down and either write, whether it's in my journal or scratching out something crazy or like stream of consciousness sort of stuff, or like free writing, or just trying to write some songs, you know.
So what happens, like, say you write a song, you write the songs?
I usually write the lyrics, but we pretty much collaborate on the
music.
How
is that process? What's it like? You have a chord change?
I mean, Matt will definitely come to the table with something, just start playing around, and he'll just kind of like slowly look up, and we'll all be like, yeah, man, that's fantastic. And he's like, really? Are you sure? And like, and then basically we just jump right into like layering it and having fun with it, really. And musically, I think we all just really come together and just start making noise, and it usually turns out pretty cool. And then sometimes with some songs seem like they're gonna be so awesome, and then they become complete nightmares, and we trash them.
Put that on the shelf. Yeah,
that happens, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, man, you guys have great music, and I love. I don't want to say your sound, but I do love your sound. It just sounds like I'm an old guy in the '60s. I love your sound. Your group is fantastic. You guys playing here all week?
Well, thank you, John. Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, definitely. And people can keep up with you by going to redeningwest.com, following you on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter.
Yeah.
Pick up the Where We Started EP. You can follow you also on Spotify.
Yes, we're there. Yes. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I listened to it on Spotify.
Thank you.
Was the name of your other band?
Black Books.
Black Books. What's going on there? You guys play?
Yeah, well, we just finished an album, actually, and we're just keeping it to ourselves right now, but actually I'll send you a link. But
okay, thanks.
It's phenomenal. I'm a little biased, but I mean, you know.
Where do you guys play? And what kind of music is it?
Just around. It seemed like Mohawk was kind of our main spot for a while, but we'll play pretty much anywhere. But we actually are playing at Empire outside.
Cool. I love that place, man.
Yeah, it's the Sound on Sound kickoff party.
Oh, killer.
Yeah, so on the 3rd
outside, you mean on that little stage or in the big, stage?
It's pretty big right on front. Yeah.
There's the inside room, then there's the barn. And then there's like a weird little...
Yeah,
I've seen cool shows on that little stage too, by the way.
Oh, cool. Like DJ sets and stuff, no?
No, like rock really? Band no playing kidding. Rock. Yeah.
I've seen a lot more stuff popping up there, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good place.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where else, where do you guys go? Where do you hang out? Where do you go see music, and who do you see? Who do you like?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I mean...
You like Black Books.
I do.
Okay.
It's the only thing I listen to.
Sweet Spirit's killing it.
Oh, yeah.
I like, Royal Force hasn't played in a while, but they're like a super cool, super underrated band that hopefully is going to be coming out again soon.
What about, can we geek out just a little bit on the Inside track? Who do you like engineering and producing here in town?
Ooh.
Like, who's a guy you're like, oh, I like that guy. I mean, like McCarthy, he does
Sweet Spirit stuff. He does great stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I've a lot of engineering buddies, so I don't know if I can like list off just a couple, and then
that's tough, right?
I'd feel bad.
I'm liking. I always like what Frenchie does.
Frenchie's great.
Yeah,
he's got so much energy. Oh my gosh! Yeah, we've worked together before, and
yeah,
it's just like mandatory guitar solos on everything, and I'm okay with it.
I just went and hung out with him while he was working a couple weeks ago. He was working with some friends of mine from New York. I love watching.
He has so much energy. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. He is a unique character, too. The way he describes everything is, he's been on the show a couple times. Oh, cool. I always think it's like amazingly entertaining for whoever's listening.
Yeah.
I like Jacob Skiba a lot, and Joseph over at Arlen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
there's a lot of shit I've been hearing.
Yeah, we did. My other band did just a quick little like video shoot thing in Arlen, and Jacob did a great job on it.
Yeah. He's cool, man.
Yeah.
He's got good ears. You have good ears.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Cool.
You have a good job. Appreciate did you mix that that Paco album?
I mixed some of it. It was kind of an interesting thing. Like, I mixed some of it, and then like somebody else ended up doing like some revisions and stuff. So I can't say that I mixed it 100%, but I did most of it, I guess.
If I had to be locked in a studio with a dude of my choosing to make a record just on the vibe, period, without even his great talent, Nevesky would be a dude
I would lock
myself in with.
We've worked on so much stuff together. It's
you
crazy.
Could tell when I was working with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a good vibe.
We've done a lot of stuff. He's great.
Yeah, he is great. He's one of the funniest people I know.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Is there anything I'm missing? Go check
out
Black Books.
Man.
Where do they find you? Blackbooks.com?
Yeah, or no.
No.
Just search Black Books Band.
Okay, Black Books Band.
I don't even know what our URL is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's like blackbooks.us, actually.
Okay. Because you're an American band.
Yeah. There's another one. It doesn't matter. Blackbooks.us.
Okay. All right. And everyone go check out Reddening West. Hopefully they'll be playing some shows soon and I'll be able to get out and see them. Where We Started is the EP produced by Kevin Butler and Reddening West. Great job, guys.
Thank you, Johnny. Nice. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Just passing through. Morning light reappeared. We'd stay.
All right. Reddening West, man. Great band. Kevin Butler, Matt Evans, great artist, great hang. Pick up their gorgeous EP, Where We Started, available at reddeningwest.com. Hey, and listen, while you're out there checking out Reddening West stuff, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and if you don't want to fill up your phone with a bunch of podcasts, then you can stream your podcast by simply downloading the app Stitcher, which is available for free in your app store. You can download up to 30,000, over 30,000 shows, including How Did I Get Here? Right to your smartphone or pad. Get the best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, and sports. That's Stitcher. Smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Find it in your app store. I want to thank Matt and Kevin for coming by, man. They're great dudes. They made a gorgeous EP. Pick it up, Where We Started. Let's hear some more music from them. And you, have a great weekend. You, listening. Yeah, you, have a great weekend. I'm seriously, I'm talking to you directly. Let's get down.